Welcome, everyone, and good morning.
Thank you.
So, now and again, we have some discussions about the classes, and obviously we would like to see not only the quality of education, but also the quality of the format in which the education is imparted to improve. So here with the adult education classes, then there is some particular benefits that devotees are allowed to come. Anybody really is allowed to come, and anybody is welcome. It is an open door class, as you can see.
No door.
No door class. Yes. So devotees are welcome to come and participate in the discussions. And in the class, so that's a very positive thing on one hand, because it broadens the discussion and has the potential to deepen the discussions also, depending on the level of the guests and visitors. On the other hand, there may be some disruptions sometimes as well, and that the guests and sometimes also the students are not necessarily that familiar with the methodology of education, which is there in the Bhaktivedanta Academy. And sometimes the class may be a little bit sidelined or, you know, diverted from the main point of the discussion. So the thing which we would like to see continue is the personal atmosphere, which I think many of you like and appreciate and are inspired by, but at the same time somehow establish that this is also a formal assembly. We are here formal assembly in the sense that we are here for specific purpose, and there is a formal format to the class also. We are studying with the study guide, and we are studying a particular topic, so we need to be focused on that topic. So, regarding questions and answer, it's a very, very important principle. We know there's even a book, Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. Bhagavad Gita also, questions, answers. Srimad Bhagavatam also, questions, answers. So this is something which is very important. And perfect questions, perfect answers, how to stay in that kind of mode of staying focused on the topic and asking questions which are relevant to the topic. So in the scriptures it is mentioned that there is a concept of Tatparya Linga. Tatparya Linga means Swarartha Anuman. So we're looking for Krishna, we're looking for some evidence, we're looking for the absolute truth. And there are two methods of presenting that absolute truth or understanding the absolute truth. One is where the person presents in a logical way as per the teachings of Panchanga Nyaya. Generally we see in Bharatam, that's how Bharatam is presented, that's how Vedanta Sutra is presented. So that's for the benefit of the others. That's the duty of the teacher, to present things in a logical and relevant way. On the other hand, Swarartha Anuman means this is for your own benefit. This is the duty of the student, to ask questions and analyze the text in a particular way. So this is a standard method. There is this upakrama, upasamhara, opening and the closing statement. So usually the topic which is being discussed, what is being said at the beginning, what is being said at the end, is important. So if questions are there, you know, you like to ask questions, you like to interact with the teacher, where generally if you think what was said at the beginning, what was said at the end, that generally will be related to the class. So it's not diverting from the topic of the class. Another aspect of it is abhyasa, things which repeat frequently, which are repeated in the class, then you can also easily understand that this is something related to the class. Is important. If it wouldn't be important, it wouldn't be repeated frequently. So that's also something you can freely feel to ask a question about that particular topic. Apurvata, novelty. These things you hear first time, you never heard before. It's only from the scripture, from the teacher, something new you are learning. So that's obviously something important. So you can ask questions about that. Phala, or some result. Usually when the scriptures explain things, they also explain what is the result. By performing devotional service, you will attain this, you will attain that. Or if you by study, you will attain this, you will attain that. So that's important, usually related to the topic. You can ask questions about that. Arthavada, there's usually some explanations. So that gets a little bit more tricky sometimes, because the tendency sometimes is to focus more on the explanation than the actually the point which the explanation is trying to illustrate. For example, in Bhagavata, maybe the story of Dhruva Maharaj is there. So the point of the story is that you have to follow Guru's instruction. The point of the story is not that you're supposed to stand on one leg for so many thousands of years. So if you want to ask a question, the question would be, how can I have determination to follow Guru's instruction? Not necessary to talk about Ashtanga Yoga, or which leg should we stand on, the right or left, or things like that. So that's important. And Upapati means logicality, that there is a certain logic usually presented. So the logic, again, itself is not important. What is important is the what the logic is trying to prove. Yeah. So if we can all follow that format, I think that class will be more successful, will be more focused, we will move faster through the materials. And all of you will be more satisfied. So we would like to request Maharaj that we stay focused and we try that. And there have been some discussions in the past that if, there was a consideration that the things don't work and there's too much distractions, then perhaps we will only allow students who are registered to ask questions during the class. But that will require some of you who are here regularly to manage it better. And obviously then people may, the guests may not feel as welcome as they feel now. So we will try to, like to avoid it. So we will try for this semester if it works. And if not, then we will see how to do it from next semester. So please try to remember that there is a certain format that's a difference also between mental speculation and spiritual inquiry. Yeah? Mind is active, intelligence is active, but in spiritual inquiry there is a certain framework in which we constrain the intelligence. Yeah, we stay focused on the topic, we stay focused on the philosophy. Mental speculation means you go all over the place. Yeah, things which you try to connect things which do not have any connection, or things which are not relevant to the topic. So this is a class for spiritual inquiry. This is not so much for mental speculation. Obviously, if there are some questions which are very important for you, then perhaps after the class, or you speak with Maharaj and find some time where you can discuss those topics which are important for you, but not directly connected to the class. And I think that will work if we all follow a little bit of that system, then I think all of you will be satisfied and the study will all go on smoothly. So thank you.
Can you stay or you
have to? I have class also.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Harih Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Radhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, so we have this aspect of it was talking about that you have to have that faith in the Shastra, right? And you have to see according to that. So what's happening here with the yoga and the Shankhya, it means it happens with all, but right now we're talking about them, is that they will start from their perspective. Then they will speculate, right? Anuman means where I have some fact and I try to figure out the rest of the picture by what I have. Does that make sense? Like I have a rock here. Okay, now why would a rock here be here and this and that? And so, you know, you come up with all kinds of speculations on what it could be. You know, so it's a rock, it's a flat rock. You know, so it's a smooth rock, so it's a smooth rock, so that means it's probably a water rock, and it's flat, so that means maybe then it was, you know, something that they were using to skip, you know, the rocks at the, what do you call it? You know, at the water, you know, water, the rock skipping? Yeah, you know, you throw the flat rocks and then they'll skip so many times, like that. And so then it's sitting here because the person giving class likes skipping rocks, but then they know they were in the process of skipping rocks. Then they noticed it was late for the class, so without thinking, the rock that they were going to throw, they didn't, and just came to the class and it got put down here. Yeah, you understand? So this is mental speculation where we start from what we see, then we apply anuman. You know, it means the inference. Then, if Shastra agrees with that, then we accept it. You know, like we see, those in yoga and other things, they accept those points in Shastra that agree with what they say. And those that don't, then they reject those. Because they've started, that is the ascending process. Mm-hmm. So, but the mechanics, you see, are the same. Your senses are being engaged, Anuman?
Pratyaksha.
No, it means pratyaksha was theirs, the senses. Then anuman?
Inference.
Then we have shabda, the shastra. But we're starting from ourselves, and therefore the authority of shastra is based on how much I appreciate it. And how much I can speculate according to my value. Right? Now, what the shastra is saying is the descending process, the real process, is that you've heard from shastra. Mm-hmm. Then, taking what is there in Shastra, now you apply that process of anuman. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now I see, okay, the situation, how does the Shastra apply to this? Mm-hmm. And then I keep doing that until the point I can understand it, and then I can see it, mm-hmm. right? That's
yes. Can we say that this requires training?
It requires training.
I mean, it has to have a faith. The person.
Well, that is the next point we're going to get to, is what's the difference in the two? Why would one choose one over the other? Because the one, the ascending process is you have faith in yourself, or that which is connected to your field. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I like science, I accept scientists, so what they say I accept, but it's because I've accepted them. If they do something I don't like, then I can unaccept them. You know, it's my, yeah, like that. So it's faith in the scriptures that actually makes it that you'll use the descending process. Now in this, so even we accept the descending process, but we also have to see that we're applying it in the appropriate way, that we have faith in the Shastra. The Shastra said it, that must be true. Now we have to apply that. So then what becomes more important? The example from Shastra, Or the example from our perception. Mm-hmm. Yes. You understand? Mm-hmm. So, do you understand? So, this is the crux of where everything went wrong in the last class. Yeah. Yeah. This point. Because what they perceived with the senses was more important than the Shastra. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, means the perfection of the Shastra. Means this Shastra Chakshus, right? Mm-hmm. Means not the Shastra, but my involvement with it. Is that according to Shastra I see? Remember, I think it was maybe last year. Maybe it was this year. No, I think it was this year. earlier in the course, then Srila Prabhupada is making the point that the pure devotees, they, in one sense, don't see the material world the way everybody else does. They have a completely different vision. Because even though the senses are working and they're perceiving what's around them, but what they're perceiving of that is different from what the materialists are perceiving. Because they'll perceive it all as Krishna, his potencies, how he's making it work, how it's all going. Does that make sense? That's then the difference. Well, the other one will be seeing it and then what I can get from it. Right? So then that's the faith in the Shastra, or the faith in themselves. Now, what's behind that? Right? So the faith in the Shastra has to be theirs because the Shastras come from Krishna. We want to please Krishna. Krishna is given the Shastra. So to please Krishna, therefore I have to see according to the vision of the Shastra. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can we say the difference between the ascending and descending process primarily is faith in Shastra?
Faith in Shastra, but also then you have ultimately is you like just like let's say the Smarta has faith in Shastra, but for what? So then you have the ultimate aspect is what's the level of consciousness? What's it for? What's your intent? So is it for to please Krishna? So it's spiritual, or it's not? So it covers the other four: dharma, artha, kama.
So is yoga considered an ascending process?
Any of these aspects that the schools are based on are ascending or descending, depending upon whether they see it in connection with the Lord or not.
Okay, so if one is performing yoga to please Krishna, it could be said that's a
descending. Yes, but at the same time, if we're involved in mixed devotional service, then there'll be some kind of a mix there. Just like, let's say, the Smarta has faith in the Shastra, so you can say in one sense it's descending on one level, because he starts with there, but his purpose in it is not because of the Lord. It's his own desire, and so it's ascending.
So we could say that technically, although a person is practicing Krishna consciousness, even for many years, if we analyze his level, you know, exactly where he's at, it could determine that he's actually performing more of an ascending process.
Yes, because until you get to pure devotional service, then one is plagued with the ascending process. Mm-hmm. It's just that you have the descending mixed with the ascending. Right? So that's what mixed devotional service means. You're trying to get rid of karma and jnana. Karma and jnana means ascending. Because I'm starting with my senses and what benefit I can get in the way of karma or jnana, and therefore I'm applying the Shastra in like this. That's why then Krishna says sarva dharmam parityajya. Right? Is that one must try to understand the Krishna, and from him, he being the source, then you apply religion. Because otherwise you apply religion, you connect it to him, it will be progressive. But we're starting with ourselves, so in that way it's ascending. Though we're using the Vedic methods properly. Means our inherent thing is it's ascending. Our fence has gotten lower. Or the elephants have gotten bigger. Or both. See, this is speculation. So, it's amazing how quiet they are, right? They don't make noise. Did I hit something? Oh. Yes.
Maharaj, so we all, as a devotees, we all accept descending process as one of the first lessons.
Yes, yes.
However, the difficulty seems to be is that we find huge gap between what's in the Shastra and what's our own experience in life. And
yes.
Then that as you mentioned, the disconnected. So we can't really, it's like, it's too far away.
But that's where Anuman comes in. That's the process. That's the point, and you've heard Shravana, right? Then the next is contemplation. Right, so manana. So you're going to contemplate. The Shastra says this, I see this. But instead of trying to interpret it according to how I see, I try to interpret how I see according to what Shastra says. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the crux of the difference here. That's where the whole thing went south. was at this point, because the demand was, unless we can see it with our senses, how do we have faith in it? But the point was is that that's there for a very neophyte person or someone who doesn't have any understanding at all. Yes, the better they have that, it works for them. But, you know, seeing that this class is the eighth year in a 12-year course, then we're not talking about, you know, we're not doing loft preaching here. You know, this is part of the nourishment of the devotees, right? Lord Chaitanya's, you know, that aspect of that Vishrambar, that he's nourishing the devotees. So we're trying to appreciate and understand Lord Chaitanya's teaching. So then it's a matter of, I see here that Krishna and the residents of Indraprastha are interacting. And we're seeing in the specific case how Kunti Devi, you know, is receiving the, you know, Krishna and that, and then instructing Draupadi to worship all the queens. Because now, why couldn't Kunti do it? Kunti could do it. In fact, she'd be happy doing it. Right? But now what's going to be the problem? She's senior, because we're talking about pastimes. Now, if you look at it the other way, is that she's just a jiva who's a devotee, and you're talking about the Lord's internal potency. And especially you're talking about the expansion of Radharani as Rukmini, as Satyabhama, as all these different, you know, so on that level, then it's there. But we're talking here, what's manifesting is sweetness. It means it is Dwarka, so it does have the both. So because of that, then if Draupadi does, then she is the wife of the Pandavas, so she is the lady of the house as such. So she has that superior position. She's just not just, oh, you know, they sent just a maidservant or something. No, she is of course, but at the same time, she's at a level where the queens would be able to accept that. Because either they're like, you know, as equals, or, you know, or it'll be very close. So it'll be, have that more, you know, that more friendly kind of aspect. Does that make sense? So, therefore, that's the etiquette. That's how it is. This is the example. Now, we take that, and then with Anuman try to apply that into our life. So I don't see it. What could I do? Not what everybody else should do. What could I do to be able to have that appreciation of the etiquette and try to apply it into my life? And we see etiquette through the whole, all the books. Does that make sense? So that's how it's going. So it's already being presented very nicely. And so we just have to take those and apply it into our situation. If we demand that externally it has to be there before I can get involved, then we're demanding everybody else to become advanced in devotional service, become expert in devotional service. And when they finally get it together and manifest it so that I, who am the center of attention, then can appreciate it and go, wow, this is nice, I want to do this. Yes, but are we in a position to demand that or expect it? And is that called self-realization? Is that independence? So that's the problem, is that we're being given a concept that I can find fault in others, that gives me independence. But at the same time, is I'm expecting that everybody else would change, that makes me actually totally dependent. We understand? So why would these mixes come up? That's because of not understanding things, because of the mode of ignorance. So we start with, Krishna wants it this way, I try to apply it this way, and then I add that little bit into the universe that it's done nicely. Not that if I'm going to do it, everybody else has got to do it, because that means I'm again starting with myself, not with Krishna. So that's the whole thing. Pure devotional service means it's about Krishna. Then the whole thing works. Then we won't get distracted by the secondary example that's given. You know, because within that, then we mentioned that, where is this defined, so that we know that's given in Varnashram. And so Varnashram is important to do, though some people aren't into the Varnashram and this and that. This is the point then where the hook goes in. Right? And now it's on to secondary. It's making a distinction between right and wrong here, so it's down on this level now. And so now, I find also right and wrong and people following and not following in that. Does that make sense? And so, therefore, we have to keep it to what we see, how we can see it. Not that, oh, this person said that, what do you say about that? It doesn't matter, because that person's not going to get benefited by what I say. What's going to get benefited is by who those are students. So that means the student, if they understand, then you can convince them. Why I have to convince them, and you sit there as you make them the second party and yourself the question, who's asking the question, the third party. This is where the problem comes in. If we'll notice, this is the pattern. And so we've gotten an example. Then when we make that, then we switch it from there to a primary discussion into a secondary, and the differences in the secondary, and my values on it, and how I perceive it. This is what's happening. And so, that's not that it's not a good discussion, but the point is this is not the forum for it. Right? The first years are the forum, up through the sixth canto. But from the seventh canto, and then it's trying to discern what's pure devotional service and what's not. That's what we have to do. Not whether we can see what Shastra says around us or not. But we can only see it if we are looking for it. Does that make sense? Because if we're looking for it, we can see it. But if we're expecting it to be right there, obvious for my senses, you'll never see it. Duryodhana, did he see that Krishna's a nice guy? Everybody else is seeing, but he's not seeing. So that's the whole point, is that this idea that I demand that I can see it, or my problems in preaching, that you have to take care of that. No. Because it can never be taken care of. Until you understand it yourself, and apply it yourself in your own life, then you can't convince anybody else. So it's not everybody else has a problem. Right? It's that we have the problem. So we have to stop projecting it onto that third party. Does that make sense?
We say that the Vedas are flawless.
Yes.
And when we, instead of practicing for so many years Krishna consciousness, we are not able to, if at all, in some parts, some portions of the Vedas, not
right.
able to put faith in the Vedas,
right.
then the flaw is with us. So
yes.
then how can one get rid of this particular?
How can one get rid of this flaw? So, okay. So we're accepting that the Shastra is correct. And then we're accepting that we have a flaw. Right? Are we accepting the middle section of the Anuman, how to take that and apply it in our life? Or are we just seeing the flaw and not using the Anuman? You understand? Yes, because when we do that, we're not using the Anuman. And so that's the meaning of submissive inquiry. It means you're using Anuman and you still can't understand it, so therefore the teacher helps you. Not that I've heard, you've said this, but I've seen this, and so therefore I don't even try in the middle, and therefore, hey, what about this, and no, but, and like this, but you said, and all that kind of stuff. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty that comes up. We're not using the Anuman. That's why I mentioned what was so amazing. A room full of Karmi, up front Karmi bohemians, all there with, literally, their berets, their goatees, and shabby a little bit, it can't be perfectly done. And, kind of like baggy work shirts and pants and some cuffs and some kind of loafer shoes and slouched around. Those guys would do Anuman and take it down 6 steps. Before they ran out of steam, and then they would ask a question on that. And those were karmis.
So that means we require education on Anuman itself.
Yes. Yes, but the point is it's Anuman means is that we already have heard that. A means like A equals B, B equals C, so A equals C. So therefore, it's I'm seeing this, Shastra says that, so what form does Shastra show that it should be? And so then what's the essential point of that? So where to look for that here rather than just whatever I see, then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
you know. That's like walking into the store, and we say, oh yeah, it has this fabulous stuff in the store. And when I first walk in the store, I only see schlock, you know, because that's right what's next to the counters, like that. And then I go, well, you know, where's the good stuff? You know, where is it? It's not here. Why don't you walk around and look? But we're demanding, no, that I get like this. So we have to be very, very careful in this point. As you can see, it's a touchy point. So because we're trying to move forward this with this in practical, applying it in our life rather than someone else is giving the philosophy how everybody else in the universe should change and therefore it'll be perfect for me. Yes. Finally, the light goes on. We were sitting in darkness. Finally, yeah. Does that make sense? So that's been the problem. That's, if you want to put your finger on it, what the annoying thing of these guys is, it's about what everybody else should do. You know? What the management should do, what the farm community should do, what this should do, what that should do. But this is not a forum for that. This is a forum for what you can do. And that means you change your consciousness. So not, well, what can I do externally? No, you have to change your consciousness. And that means I have to see it's about Krishna. So therefore I'm using Anandamaya rather than the other four. Then, you know, what's the proper character that I'm using? And so that character aspect is that, you know, is it that humility, tolerance, as respect, all these different things, are they being used for the qualities? Then down to that, then I have my knowledge and skills. Because the point is, if the spiritual is there and the qualities are there, even if the knowledge and skills isn't so perfect, it actually is already perfect. Even if the qualities aren't all there, but the consciousness is right to please Krishna, it's still perfect. But we have this idea, it's not only when it's externally perfect, then it'll be good. But there is no, where is it? Where is this perfect place? Right? Because the material world is designed that it won't have it. Maya's made it, so it's not there. There's a hope that it's there, but it's never there. You understand? So if you use the Anuman, see, the problem is I'm using Anuman here. Now, I can say is, okay, you see is like, okay, like in Calcutta, you'll have the Quest Mall. But what's all around it? Just dumpy houses. So that's the point. It's never perfect. So that's Anuman. I've taken this point and then given an example using Anuman. But now the discussion has to, we have to keep it from now being about that. Well, you know, what's wrong? You know, people don't have money. Why we should have the Quest Mall there? That's absolutely not important at all. Right? I mean, if we're just discussing that, we can get into that. But the point is then we have to take it, okay, so then how does that apply into my situation? You know? Does that make sense? I'm seeing this, I go to the village, and I see cow dung everywhere and everything like this. So, what's the point? Have they been trained? No. But if you go to any city, then the point is how much garbage is there? Tons, right? But because the city management collects the garbage, and they tell you, put your garbage out at this time, they make laws, they make this, that, otherwise, everyone would just throw their garbage everywhere. It's not that the West is so much more sophisticated by the average person, it's their governance is more sophisticated. Because the average person, if the government was that, they'd just throw junk everywhere. You understand? It would just be Mad Max, that's it. That's what you'd see. So, when we complain about these places, oh, it's so dirty, it's so this and that, it's because the government does that. Like in Singapore, it's perfect. Why? Because if you do anything, I don't know what it is now, but when someone was telling me about it, which was...
$1,000
now. $1,000, okay. Because when I heard about it, which was about 10 or 15 years ago, it was $100, so they've raised it. That was last year. They raised it to $1,000.
I'm not sure if they raised, but last year it was $1,000.
$1,000, yeah. If you have a puddle anywhere on your property where water can sit after a rain, there's not perfect drainage, then you're fined for being a mosquito breeder because you're giving facility for mosquitoes to breed. So that means you get out there and make your level, make your grass, make everything perfect. Just because the government is there, that's why you could say in one sense it's the closest thing where the whole city looks pretty good. But at the same time, is they don't like tourists to go into the local areas, even though the local areas are good, but they still don't like them to go there. I remember it was, I went to Singapore and said, because I was going to stay with a friend, I'm staying with friends, you know, it's all like immediately, how do you know them, why are you here, what's going on, like this and that. So then they said, no, you have to say you're staying at a hotel and this, so they see you're spending money. Because if you're going to stay with a friend, you're spending all money. Why are you coming to Singapore? You come here to spend money, right? So then I thought, okay, I'll be more careful about that next time. Then I went to Israel and said, so what are you doing? I'm staying in a hotel and this. And I said, why are you doing it? Why, you don't know anybody here? Why are you here? You come here to see people, not to stay. Yeah, so you can't win. Huh? Yeah, it's got to make sure you know. Singapore, hotel. Israel, friends. Yeah. Yes.
Right, we're trying to follow that process of accepting Shabda and then contemplate. And we hear from the acharyas, from the spiritual master. And then sometimes we face the stumbling block is that as if their realization become ours, where we reflect their realizations.
Right.
However, after some time we realize we're not at that level, and then the meltdown happens.
No, but the point is reflection is good if we're having faith in what we're trying to do, but we also have to, we have that position, we're not the same. We're following. So we're not imitating, we're following the footsteps. So that's one of the ways that you get that benefit by being around advanced devotees. Then there is that aspect of reflection.
Yeah.
And so then we take on those qualities. And so if we're trying to please Krishna, then taking on those qualities, let's say it's a, you know, like you say, it's a nice kirtan and everybody's excited, but normally we're not that excited, but we get excited. And so that's good for us. And so then we have that taste, not that, oh, I'm not at that level, is that that's a taste of what level I could be on if I continue the process. So we always, that's why we always cause with Krishna, and that's our natural position, it works back, it makes it so much easier. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's also then why the association of devotees is so important, because then we're always using this aspect of Anuman, and we get as far as we can, and when we can't get farther, then by that association we learn how to apply it more. Like that. So it's not a problem that we can't effectively always apply the Anuman as well as we would like to. The problem is when we don't see the importance of it, we just go straight from Shabda to Pratyaksha, our senses, and that I don't see it, so it's wrong. And then it's the onus is on everybody else to make it right for them. So the problem is where is their endeavor? Because they can say, no, but I want to know, but you're not making the endeavor. You know, it's like that story of, what do you call it, I think I'm not sure where it's from. It's definitely an Asian thing, but whether it's from India or broader, that there was a flood, and the flood's going up and that, and some guy came along and he was, you know, stranded. Somebody came along and, you know, something, and said, you know, you can come with us now or something. We have, you know, let's say there's a horse or something, you can come with us now. And then you say, no, I have faith in God. God will save me. You know, so I'm okay. So then the water goes a little higher. He's getting a little fire. And he comes in a boat. Hey, come, let's go, like that. No, God's going to take care of us and all this. So then he goes far. And then he's up on the roof and that. And then a helicopter comes and this and that. No, God's going to save us and that. Then, you know, the water comes higher and he drowns, right? And then he comes before God and all that. And he asks God, why didn't you save me? He says, what do you want me to do? I sent you a horse, I sent you a boat, and I sent you a helicopter. I mean, you know, what else do you want? You know, so that kind of thing is that we have to be willing to make the effort, not that everybody else has to make the effort. Does that make sense? Because then that takes on all kinds of... We don't have that brahminical independence where we're applying it ourselves. Yes.
Some years ago, somebody in the class asked you that all the acharyas are there, but I want to see living acharyas. So your answer was, these acharyas are not dead. they are all living and like showing us their example every single day.
Yes, nice. Yes. So all, that's why Bhaktivinoda Kaur is making the point. They're there. It sounds, so that's why I was saying is that this is the example. This is the pastime, it's the example, it's the perfection. So it is the knowledge. It is the process. It is the result. So it is everything. And then from this, of trying to apply that here, then you try to affect it outside. But if we don't use that process, you won't see it. So we can say, okay, well, farms aren't happening, communities aren't happening. Why aren't they happening? Because we're not using the anima. We're not using Shastra as the basis. We're using our own attachments, like I like fresh air or something like that, or, you know, I like simple living, because if I wasn't a devotee, I'd be out in some commune somewhere, like that. Not the Israeli ones, like that. Does that make sense? So the whole point is that it's in line with material qualities I appreciate, and so therefore I'm going, so it's from me to back to Shastra, which is all right as a beginning, but then as long as it has that pure devotional flavor that I'm trying to do this for Krishna and using my intelligence, so we're applying the anuman, and then slowly it'll work out the other way. That's why Krishna's, the first chapters of Gita have all shown how you can do it through that. See your religious process, follow that religious process and move up, but still you have to make the endeavor. Even if you want to use the religious processes and then connect it to Krishna, still it's Krishna's rules on how the process works. And it has to be connected to him. But ultimately, you're trying to get to, it starts with him, to please him, that's why we're doing it. But if it's a matter of, no, it's my likes and dislikes, and everybody else has to adjust for that, it's mundane, it's not spiritual. We're not making that distinction, we're not using the intelligence here to distinguish. We're just, the mind's accepting what I like, and this, I can't understand it, so I reject it. Right? So I'm using, yeah. This doesn't make sense? Yes.
It looks like that this bubbling up of misgivings is connected to the lack of training in humility.
That's there. But it's not that, yes, it's lack of training in humility, but how we're, you see, you can have a misgiving, but there's the culture of how to present it. That's why I've been warning so much of the times that you said and but and all these things. It means it can't, it's that's there, but you have to state your point and all this. Rather than just go by your feelings, and because you're feeling it, everybody else has got to feel it. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is that we have to be very, very careful here. Otherwise, the association of the Sangha won't be progressive. And we see it runs into, I mean, it's all the, you know, modern difficulties that are there, you know, are all bred from this process. And there is no modern solution to these, because there is based in ignorance. You know, it may be having good knowledge and skills, good qualities, but the point is ultimately, what's the intent? Even the guy's very, you know, good knowledge and skills, wonderful person, everybody likes them, but what's his intent? You know, is it to please Krishna? Is it Anandamaya? You know, is it liberation? You know, Buddhists are nice guys, like that, you know. So then, you know, is it karma? Because, you know, do unto others what you want them to do to you. So I want good facility, and I want to therefore deal with others in the proper way. So he's a nice guy, but it's karma. You know, or there's an ideology that this is what it should be, so I'm trying to do, and society be so perfect because I thought that these are wonderful qualities. So it's below dharma, you know, it's upadharma. So it has moral qualities, it has good qualities, but they're not based on Shastra, they're based on, you know, one's desire. Not that they're any less in the way of the quality itself, but because the intent of the quality is less, therefore it's in a junior position. Does that make sense? So one has to be able to discern that. That's what we're trying to figure out here. Not these forms that we're using. Now, to give example, it has to be in a field that we can appreciate the example. Because we try to take it, because we're taking that, we try to see it in something. But the point is we have to be helping in that process. That's the process of learning. That's why we start the verse with, you know, Sahana Bhavatu San. Me, teacher and student then work together to try to understand the Supreme. Right? But if it's just a matter of, no, you have to make it all work for me. You know? But that's okay if it's on a sentimental level. You know, it's like the kid doesn't want to eat themselves, the mother has to feed them. But there's a relationship there. You know what I'm saying? But the point is there has to be a try. So therefore, you want to feed. Then you sit there. Not that everything they do, you push it off the table and this and that. I don't want to eat this and that, but you have to feed me. That's not nice.
It's mentioned in that verse that without jealousy.
Without jealousy.
With Vishalai.
Yeah, so maybe there's a good relationship between student and teacher, but the places where we're trying to apply it, then that jealousy can't be there. You know, that's why I mentioned the other day about authority issues, or, you know, being self-centered, being the victim, or being these things, because these are with jealousy. So it's not, it may be there, it may be existing, but we have to go beyond that. So it's not that when those correct themselves, then I'll be able to be Krishna conscious. You can be Krishna conscious despite the world not being perfect, right? Did Dhruva Maharaj become perfect and become a pure devotee even though his stepmother and stepson were still ratbags? No, it means he told Vishnu, I want to surrender, I want to be the pure devotee, but until you work out this injustice that's going on, I really can't, you know, commit myself and surrender. That's the whole point, is the material world is built like this. It's not, there is no, we shouldn't have that faith that you can make the world a nice place. The world's always going to be a not nice place. You know what I'm saying? You know, the whole point is okay, these village kids are running around. Now, why does a kid have a snot nose? Right? Because their nose has not been blown. Right? Now, do little kids like to blow their nose? Do they think about blowing their nose? Do they carry around a thing of handkerchiefs with them? No? No. Okay. So now, this kid is running around and doing all these things. Okay. Now, one, are they enthusiastic? Are they bright-eyed? Are they physically healthy? Right? Can they do so many things?
Yes.
Okay, now you take the kid that, you know, is perfectly nose done, you know, looks like, you know, how you say, Lord, you know, Lord Font, was it Fauntleroy?
Farquaad.
Yeah, or Farquaad also. Yeah, that would work also. Like that. So, yeah, but can he do anything?
He can blow his nose.
No, someone else has to blow it for him. He's not taking the things and blowing them up. You understand? So someone's there, but then they can't do other. So you always have this thing. Now, if you can get to the point where they can run around and blow their nose, now that's perfection. So now it just looks good, but they can't do anything. They're not independent. They're not practical. Then is it actually better? So there is a difference there. Yes. And that difference is just like, yeah. Does that make sense? So, the whole idea is that qualities are there. What's the purpose? What we're learning? That's what you have to analyze and see. Therefore, in these kids, you don't look at the snot nose. You look at, you know, how they're able to do things and take part. From a younger age, they can be much more responsible. That's the part you want to keep. Now, all you have to add is blowing their nose. But because they're not blowing your nose, you throw out the whole village concept. Who's at loss here? We are. So we have to be very, very careful. And the worst part, it's not about the village and the snot-nosed kids. It's about Draupadi taking care of the queens at Dwarka. That's the most frustrating part. We're talking, this such a nice thing, and we end up down in snot-nosed kids. You know what I'm saying? It's not a problem that we follow it down there as long as it's a natural extension of our application. But if it's just a fight, then where's the point? What are we going to gain from that? So therefore we have to get all the snot-nosed kids in all the third world countries. Like there's millions of them. And until they do, then none of the city people are going to take up a simple life. Right? But, yeah, does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the fun part. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. Whatever you said till now, it is perfectly follows Bhagavad Gita. Like we say, Arjuna was perceiving with his eyes the army. Then after what is, Hanuman is like, how can I enjoy? And he is using the Shastra that how we should not kill. Then after that, when Krishna chastises in the second chapter, Tlaibhyam, important like that.
Right.
Then he puts again Hanuman. Then further he says, now I surrender.
Yes.
Then after that he is just taking from Krishna. Once and again he puts Hanuman and asks, after many shlokas, one question, not that. So
yeah, he's not arguing over the point. It's just that it doesn't make sense because you've said this and you've said that. So they have faith in it and they want to know, but they can't quite see it. So in other words, the question is based on where I intellectually can't see it, not that I'd like it or don't like it. That's the difference. Means you having a forum where it's about people like, don't like, then those are fun. Right, you know, you have a Ratha Yatra, you have the question and answer booth, or, you know, those kind of things like that. That's for that. You know, so you go in there, you're ready for that. But not that you're discussing Draupadi and the queens and this and that, and then you end up with like that, and then, you understand, you don't expect that. Because it's a different forum.
And at the end it says, Karishye Vachanam Tava.
Yeah, and now you do what you like. You know. Yes.
Maharaj, here... the four main type of evidence is given, and then historical inference is also quoted. Now, where it falls in Shabda Anuman and Pratyaksha? It falls in Anuman?
Inference is Anuman. See, the fourth one, I don't know which one's the fourth one here.
Fourth one is and Vedas. It's told like...
Oh, that's a different fourth one. There it means the Veda is the first one. Then the histories or the examples given by the great personalities is the second. Then the third is our acharyas, and then senior personalities and things like that. Then the fourth is ourself, in that group of four.
Okay.
But there is within logic then four groups that Gotama deals with. But the fourth one outside of Pratyaksha, Anuman, and Shabda, the whatever's the fourth one, we include it in one of these others. It's already part of that. So Gotama has already done that there's 10 aspects. And so he's shown all the 10 and shown how they're all included within the 4. And then our acharyas have shown how they're included in the 3. The 4 is in the 3. That means whatever Gotama has already said of the 10 and the 4, that's already there. And then that all comes in. So it's just a matter of these are branches of all this. Does that make sense? Yeah. So like that, then it's given. So these three are used. In other words, you've heard, now you contemplate and practice, and then when you can see it according to Shastra, or Shastra Chakshus, that's realization.
Okay.
That's nididhyasana. Because then you value it. Because right? What's the difference? I can't see it, I don't value it. I therefore fight against it. Right? So that's the... Does that make sense? So in other words, questions are very important because as we progress, we apply, and then we run out. That's why there's the forum for discussion and this, and then what you are having trouble with, someone else doesn't. What they have trouble with, you don't. So that's the thing. Everybody has their area of strength and weaknesses. That's why the assembly, the Sankirtana, that's important because every soul being individual, then their progression is different. And that way they can support each other. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So then that's why the forum is important. That's why we want to keep it at that kind of forum. Does that make sense? Because we're not dealing with, okay, you have the sages at Naimisharanya, one group of sages, and they have a natural leader amongst them. So he asks questions on behalf of all of them. But here we don't exactly have that. Everybody's coming from everywhere in the world. You know, and so therefore then everybody's asking questions. But still the principle of that is thoughtful and how it's going to be applied, that has to remain. Yes.
Maharaja, like, is it that only a pure devotee can contemplate it exactly how it can be applied?
No, everybody can contemplate, but we base it on the teachings of the pure devotees. Otherwise, what are we going to base it on? Because otherwise, we've been contemplating a long time and we haven't come up with anything really great.
Maharaja, I was reflecting on how Srila Prabhupada's godbrother criticized him when he gave sannyas to the foreigners.
Right.
But like Prabhupada saw it, how the principles can be applied in the modern time.
It's not a matter of modern time. It's a modern about the situation. Because we have to remember that modern means not Vedic. That's how Manu describes it. So modern's always been there. Right? Just like, let's say, back in the Satyayuga, the tribals living out in the forest and doing their own thing, they're modern. Right? Isn't it? You understand? So in the Vedic system, you had these great personalities in the Satyayuga meditating on Super Soul and that, using then the Treta Yuga, then the Dwapara Yuga, and then now in Kali Yuga. So it's going down. Right? But for modern man, he connects to the modern line, the non-Vedic line. So yes, it goes back to, you know, Neanderthal was there and, you know, writing designs on caves in Europe somewhere. Like that. And that. But at the same time, all these other people were already there. They're two parallel things. The Vedic is always there and the modern's always there. It's just sometimes modern is more sophisticated or not, or this way or that way. It's just always there. Does that make sense? You know, the same society was the Greeks, then the same society became the Romans, then the same society became the French, right? Right? Because it wasn't the Holy Roman Empire, was from France. Yeah, so it was that it's the same line, the same values, but it changes. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that the it's always there. And the Greeks were basing it on something before them. Just we don't know much about it. Does that make sense? Okay. So we're good. So we understand what we're looking for. So it's a matter of practice. We're trying to do it. Then Krishna will give the intelligence, it'll work. But unless we accept it and try to do it, then we won't be able to progress. As you notice, we've kind of like hit a ceiling here. Yeah. No, it doesn't matter what the pastime was, we're asking the same questions. Yeah. Because we're not trying to apply it into so that we can progress. Right? Because this is, you know, we're on, you know, we're going through the, you know, things. We're up to the 71st chapter. So we're almost finished the 10th canto. So that means that things are progressing. But so we have to progress like that. And accepting the principle of how it's Krishna, his pleasure and everything. We accept that. Maybe we're not so good at it, but that doesn't matter, because that's then what 11th canto is going to do for us. Yes. Get back into the technical mechanics of someone who has faith in the scriptures, in Krishna and his pastimes, in his devotees, that this is the perfection. Now, how to mechanically apply this into your life. How to do that. But you have to accept that at that point. Does that make sense? You know, we went with the fundaments in the first cantos. Then we get down to that essential point. The essence was always there, but it was presented with all the trappings. Right? The generic trappings. And 10th canto is just, this is the Lord's pastimes. Then 11th canto will give us the fine points of the trappings. Just like in Gita, the first six chapters show how yoga works. Now understanding the elements of Buddha Yoga, then you apply it towards Krishna, the middle six chapters. Because it's just about Krishna there. Then the last six chapters, those are the technical points how you can refine your applying your situation or your yoga, the Buddha Yoga, to Krishna. So we see Bhagavatam's working in the same way. Yes.
It came to my mind that Madhvacharya, because he was worshipping the deity of, I forgot the name, the deity he found.
Udupi Krishna.
Udupi Krishna, his returning robe.
Yes.
So he said that in the same way, we are supposed to discuss Krishna's pastimes, like Krishna is churning.
Okay.
And getting the essence. So in the same way, we are supposed to discuss to
get the essence, yes.
Deeper essence.
Yeah, because the essence should be what's rising up. It shouldn't be just going down. Because you have to remember is that, let's say, in the thing is that the one is balanced. Okay, you know, it's like in the martial arts, and they're going out like this, you know, or you know, this or whatever it is that they're doing. This is the one that you're using for. The right hand is what you're using for strike. This is for balance. Mm-hmm. But now if we just discuss that hand and not about what it's doing and everything like that, then we've lost the whole point. That's what's happening. Is yes, these things are there, and the finer you can get it here, the finer you can put it over there. But the point is when you walk into the material situation, you don't look at what's wrong with it, you look at what's right with it. what to gain from, what to learn from it. What's wrong is already there, and that it's not that you don't see it, but that's not the main point. It's like that article that Hayagriva wrote when they first went to Vrindavan. Can't remember what year that was, but it was, you know, quite early. It's in the BTG. So he, you know, being from you know, academic background and university and all, you know, sophisticated and all that kind of jazz. So then he wrote an article and talking about the pigs and the, you know, the sewage and this and that, and probably just said it was a useless article. It didn't bring out the niceness of it because that's what he saw. But, you know, you see is that, okay, there's a bunch of old ladies here, even though not old ladies, and no one wants them, right? You know, husbands died, something's happened, this and that, and so then they go to Vrindavan because it's their culture. And then they're in Vrindavan and they're chanting. Like that. How many ladies are in that position in the West? Are they going to Vrindavan? Are they sitting down and chanting all day? You know what I'm saying? You notice that. You notice the service attitude. You know, the ones that are there, you know, pouring the water and all that. You still get that anymore? Those people with the water and pouring the water in Vrindavan? You still get that. Just the mood they have. They want to do that. It's not like they're, you know, a office job and they hate doing it and you like that. They like doing that. Just how people deal, how going by a shop. I'm sitting there in the rickshaw because, you know, waiting for someone like that. And I'm watching as the shop owner is sitting there and looking at, you know, you have the calendars, you know, and they have a nice picture of Krishna on it and all the things. And he's sitting there talking to Krishna. It's not like, you know, looking in this. He's like, Krishna, what's going on here? I'm your devotee. I'm here surrendered like this and that. Everybody else is getting business. I'm not getting business. So, you know, you maintain your devotees. Why aren't you But it wasn't that there's a problem with Krishna. He accepts him as the authority. He's surrendered. But he's not understanding why he's not reciprocating. It's not like, well, Krishna's supposed to take care, he's not taking care, this is nonsense. No, because that's not personal. That's just, he's God and he's supposed to do it. Here is, he is the person, you're supposed to, I'm here, you're here, you know? And so it's like, he's there in that picture, it's not that he's not there.
But did I wrong?
Yeah, you know, so that's the whole thing. So these are the things you notice, and then that's what you see in Vrindavan. You know, if you're just going to see the external and the dirt and this and that, then you're not in Vrindavan. So yes, it means you go in and all you see is the kids running around. You're not, and that you're not in the village. That's not the village. So that's the whole point. Is when we give the examples and we give the ideal, it's real. So the Shastra is real. So this whole thing is, well, it's not here. It's not being done. When is it, when the leadership's going to do it and all that? That's nonsense. When are you going to do it? Because if it's they got to do it, you know, otherwise you can't do it, then that puts you in the position of a Shudra. They're in the position of a Dvija. So therefore, if you're a Shudra, is it your business to get on their case? No, you do your business, and they'll work it out. Does that make sense? So we have to be, it's not that I'm the Brahmin and I'm pointing it out and this and that, but at the same time, is they got to do it. So, you know, it's like, That's cheating. Yes.
Manu Samhita, first chapter, 98th verse. Nobody should bring into question the authority of the Smriti or the Shrutis. Second chapter, I guess. Even if the Guru is making an error, the disciple should never find fault with the Guru. Punishment for that, if he does so, next lifetime, become donkey. Yeah. And Bhakti Vikas Maharaj, in the beginning of the book, Bhakti Sandar Saraswati Vaibhav, says that even when we touch the Guru's lotus feet, we maintain care that our fingers don't disturb his skin.
That's if we were touching. That's our conversation coming up yesterday, that Prabhupada warned not to get involved in it and didn't really like it being done. But occasionally it's there, just like Lord Chaitanya would avoid it. But then there was that one devotee, he was so humble and served the Vaishnavas and had such a good service attitude that when Lord Chaitanya went to wash like that, then he took the water from his feet like that, his drinking. So after the third time, when he went for the fourth, he said, that's enough. You know, so Krishna is quite happy, you know, like that too. But the mood is there. It's not that a demand and I should get this and why I'm not getting this. Because then that's the whole thing down. It's my rights, but what is my obligation? So it has nothing to do with what I'm supposed to do. Because rights, It means what you're supposed to do for me. Obligation is what I'm supposed to do. So we see is that's the one problem with the modern. It's all about rights, not about obligation. It means obligation is mentioned. It means my rights, your obligation. But they never discuss what their obligation is. I've never heard it. Does that make sense? So that's what we're trying to do, is get beyond this material consciousness, because the material consciousness is what's kept us here since time immemorial. So if we want to get out of the material world, we have to give it up. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to learn how to give it up. Not saying that it, you know, once we understand it's there, that it's given up, but that we've understood it. Now it's progressive that we can now start to. But in that, we have to remember it's not us doing it. Oh, I'm such a rat bag and this and that. No, it's that, yes, we are. That's why we're here. Anybody in the material world, then guaranteed rat bag. Just, yeah, Brahma's the most pious rat bag, right down to Indigopa, who's the least pious rat bag. Right? Huh? Yeah, and then they switch after sign. Yeah, oh, you'll have to remember that Indigopa germ was a Brahma at one time. So the point is this, you apply it. So it's by Krishna's grace it will work. So we have to surrender to Krishna so it works. Not that, oh, I'm so used to it, I can't surrender. No, only surrender will get it. So we're trying to bring it to that point. That's what we're discussing. That's what we're trying to get to.
The sad part is that devotee is saying that whatever is in the Bhagavatam is an idealistic model.
That's and no, but here, wait. Here, just before
others,
go ahead.
They say that... That is different in the Puranas, but what we want is practical. So they don't connect, you know, the reality with
yes.
the Shastras. That is where the mistake lies.
Yes, yes, yes.
Whole problem arises.
Yes, the problem comes because we don't have that faith. As we mentioned, is that you have the faith. So the faith is based on that we have faith in Scriptures, because Scriptures is the basis of what we're doing. Right? So that faith in the Scriptures, then that's what's going to make it work. So that's why we're starting from there and then coming down. Does that make sense? But if we don't come down, then it's a problem. So in here is that, now seeing that, then it's a matter of, yes, they have that. Okay? So now we've seen what we're talking about. So in other words, it means I've made the point here, now you've seen it. Yes, some devotees say that. But the point is if you have that faith, what are you doing about it in your life? And then what you do in your life, that's how you can help them in their life. Does that make sense? So it wouldn't go, the root of that discussion wouldn't go, so what should we tell them? Because that's not this discussion. This forum is not about them. We're talking about who's here in this room. Others can listen, that's nice, but we're talking who's here in the room. They're the ones asking a question. So it has to be about how you're going to apply it. I have heard that faith in Shastra is important, and that's the way it is. And Prabhupada says it's imperative,
yeah.
Like that. At the same time, as I've seen others who they don't have that faith, and so they can't fly. So, do I have that quality? How to see that I don't have that quality? What can I do to develop that faith? That's the question. Not how do I preach to them, and they said this, and they said that's not this discussion. Right? Does that make sense? That's what we're trying to get to. So, always then, when these points are made, if it's just a matter of, yes, I've seen that, then that's nice. So now you know you've made that connection. Mm-hmm. But now what's in between? What are you going to do about it? In the way of how you're going to change yourself. Because if you understand, you can convince others. Because it's not a matter of words and technique. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of, if you're convinced, you can convince others. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it was Shatadanya Prabhu, he went into the, I think it was in Calcutta, went into Prabhupada's room. And as soon as he walked in, Prabhupada looked at him very soberly and said, "Are you convinced?" Yeah. You know? Because yeah. You know, that's the point. If you're convinced, then you can convince others. Yes. This idea is, what's the technique, what I should say? That's not where we're discussing here. That makes it work. Yeah? Okay. We're good? A summary of Adhikarana 4. Vishaya, the previous sutras prove that something, namely the energy, organization of life symptoms of the material creation, cannot come from nothing. Right? Because how do you get something from nothing? It doesn't work. Because if it worked, there'd be a lot of really rich people. Right? Yeah. So now the speculators refusing to admit their defeat, right? Because now it's been pointed out there, they've started with their own material perspective. They're not accepting the Shastra. They're trying to analyze it in their own way, but it's been defeated just logically and by Shastra. But they argue drawing encouragement from the Buddhist doctrine. So they switch to anything that will support that the material world not only comes from nothing, but it itself is nothingness. Right? So we see is that ultimately, so like that, we'll call them agnostic, right? Because they accept the Vedas and they accept the concept of the Supreme. But it's not that ultimately they are there, because only ultimately those who accept the Lord are Vaishnavas. Just like in world religions. In the world, generally, the world religions, at least let's say the Abrahamic world religions, they'll all accept God as a person. Right? And he's a person, he has desires, he has interaction, he has these things, all this kind of jazz. Then if you ask, you know, what does he look like, then he's impersonal. Because there's a limit to how much of their material intelligence can be applied, because beyond that it has to be revealed through devotion. Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. So we count them as monotheistic. That they believe in a one singular supreme, you know, person who's the source of everything. That's the dictionary definition of the word God. That there's a person who is the source of everything. Does that make sense? So we accept them like that. But if you keep digging, you'll find that they're totally, you know, impersonalist. Same way as all these six schools, then they'll be there. But if you dig enough, you'll find that it gets all these others. Because where's the basis? Bogus is bogus. It's just that's the basis of it. And so it's just a matter of whether your bogusness, you're basing it on the Veda or not. Does that make sense? So it's like that, like Upasampradaya. It goes back to something totally mundane, but because it's working within the realm of the Vaishnava tradition, in some aspect, therefore it's an upasampradaya, not just, you know, more materialist. Right? So then, technically, if they had that faith in the Shastra, that then discussion, you could, all they'd have to do is now replace that misunderstanding with the proper understanding. And then they've already accepted Guru and Shastra and the process and all these things, and now they could do it properly. Does that make sense? But, so now they've taken shelter of the Buddhists because they're not going to give up the discussion. They're not going to allow themselves to be defeated. So Shamshaya, now their doubt. Shankya philosophy differs from Vedanta in its view of the cause of creation because it apprehends that the creation arose essentially from nothingness, right? Before they were saying it came from Pradhan. When that showed that didn't work, then, you know, how is that going to come? Then they have to say it comes from nothingness. Because then if you say nothingness, you can't get anything before nothingness. So it seems like it's an end. You know, it's a conclusion. Yes.
It's clear that here how even the people on an intellectual platform dealing, they go through the same process. Even a person who is a very sentimental level, then we are talking and we are trying to say them. They also go through the same process. You say one thing and then ultimately it's like, you know, life is all ends at the end.
It doesn't matter and this and that. And, you know, then, you know, the Western, you end up with the perfectionists, the you know, French, the existentialists. You know, it doesn't matter and this and that. And, you know, so because there's no ultimate authority. The point being is that it's not, sampradayic Vaishnav. Then it is about what I want. It's just what's their taste and what they want. Some are renounced, some are not. You know, some are religious, some are not. You know, some accept one God, many gods. You know, nature is God, no gods. You know, themselves is God. I mean, it's just a matter of taste. You know, it's like a sandwich shop. You can put together a sandwich in a million different ways, but it's still a sandwich. You know, it's like that. So it's still material because they're not accepting the supreme authority of the Lord. So they'll always do that. And you'll generally see it's whether they're intellectual or not. When something is defeated, if they don't have any more points, they'll switch to a different philosophy to back it up. So that's always the fun. So if you know that that's what's going on, then you just see it. They'll even quote the opposition to support them. Right? Because as general, those who are followers of the Vedas won't accept the Buddhists because they don't follow the Vedas. But now, because their arguments didn't work, they'll accept the argument of the Veda just to get their work done. As soon as the work's done, then they'll reject the Buddhists again. So in other words, they'll never actually have a solid philosophy. So, yeah. Okay, I'll stop there.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki Jai Nitai Gaur ki.